Well, good morning to each of you. It's really good to be here. Wish you God's grace and peace this morning as we share together. My mind and heart is full as we come back to this area again, and brings back a lot of memories. See a lot of things that have changed, but a lot of things that haven't changed too. And so I think back to the time when we were here and many valuable things of that. I was, of course, struck with all the children that gathered up here this morning. We saw the potential for that 10, 15 years ago, and the reality of that is a blessing. Didn't anticipate, at least at most points in the journey of the last 11 years, it would say, greetings from Pensacola, Florida. But that is the case this morning. We've enjoyed our time there so far. Church community, of course, has been very kind to us, and we have benefited immensely. We expect to be there in that area, the general area there in Pensacola, till the end of September this coming year, to complete that part of my studies. But ultimately, yes, greetings from Columbia. And not quite sure where home is. I used to say, well, I'm from Georgia, even after we went to Columbia. And then, of course, when Dad's moved away and we didn't come back here as often, I say that less. But there's still a part of Georgia, I guess, maybe from starting out a married life here that I've always felt like that. And I still have a bank account in Georgia, so I'm not sure what that counts for. But now it's easy to do mobile things, but and of course, as far as Columbia, many of you are familiar with All Nations Bible Translations. I think they were actually here in the last 2 or 3 years, and we continue to be there to support All Nations personnel. Part of this reason of being in the States here is the pursuit of education and medical area is to have more tools, more occupational tools to gain and maintain access in areas of Columbia where it would be very hard to be there without something like that. And like I said, there's a lot of thoughts that goes through our minds as we come back here. We really wanted to come back here various times, and then we said, well, we're from Pensacola, we're going to stop in here sometime. So now we're able to do that. And I think about, I can't say specifically what all they are, but the things in life that you pick up as you go through life, and think about, there's many valuable things that I learned during the time that we lived here that were part of God's journey for me, and I thank you for being a part of that. And you continue to be in many ways. And maybe we don't always realize that at the time. I'm sure that's how it is. But that's how it tends to work. We don't realize the moments that we impact other people. Maybe it's the example. Maybe it's the singing. Maybe it's maybe the words that we said. You know, when the Holy Spirit is working and moving in the believer, impact will be made. And it's so interesting how often it tends to be the things that maybe we don't think are as important or as, I don't know how to say this, but as, quote, spiritual occasions. But it's the daily life things that can be an impact, even to our own families. And I would really enjoy just sitting with each of you and hearing your stories, or maybe we call them our stories, and there are our stories and God's working in our lives, but they're stories about God and how God has been good to you and the challenges that you've faced. What opportunities have God brought to you and how have you used them? One thing I like to remind other young people is to make the most of each opportunity that God brings into your life. And that can be from something, your time, your opportunities to learn Scripture, to memorize Scripture, to put it into practice. But it can also be the simple skills of life. Life is layers of learning. And for us as Christians, each day has purpose, has a purpose in it for its own day. And for the reason why God has called us to do this specific thing this particular day, but it also is a layer of preparation for the next day or the next month or the next year. And so we need to take advantage. If we have a mind to memorize Scripture, do it. If you don't, keep on doing it. But it's keep on reading. If you have the opportunity to, you know, relating to people and learn how to relate to people more effectively. Maybe a practical skill, maybe a vocational skill. Learn how to, make bread or whatever as a young person, or even, you know, vocational skills, but even simple things like riding a horse or being practical about life and solving problems. You never know how God will use those situations in your life later on to speak for God, whether it's out of your mouth or by your actions. Makes me think about, whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Your work, your skills, and your talents are simply a catalyst for the kingdom work that God wants you to fulfill, wants you to do. So that's not specifically the main subject this morning, but I would like to speak about something. I want to tell you a story, and the title this morning for our thoughts is A Lesson from Guillermo. Now, for those of us who were not born into a family speaking Spanish, I'll write the name Guillermo on the board. See if I can do it high enough. You can see it. That might be right. A lesson from Guillermo. And I would like to introduce you to Guillermo. And one of the reasons why I would like to introduce our thoughts this morning with this story is because of the way that I came about a thought through relating to this man. And it's interesting when we need to be willing to learn in any situation and from people that we don't expect to learn things from. Guillermo is a single man, a little older than myself. He grew up deep in the Amazon rainforest. He would have grown up speaking an indigenous language. He learned Spanish at some point, I think before he became an adult, but it's definitely a second language to him. And he still struggles to understand more complicated Spanish words, and he struggles very much with numbers. He grew up probably knowing about as many numbers as can fit on your hand, your fingers and toes, I think is how they count. He moved to Leticia at some point and got a job as a security officer at the airport. But he never completely took advantage of many of the other things that most indigenous people do when they move to a more civilized world, or at least we call it that. He continued to eat basically two or three things that he always ate. Bread-like thing made out of cassava, I believe. Yucca plant. And fish. And that was what he ate. And I've offered him things like popcorn. He's like, nah, he's not interested. And so he he had opportunity to read a lot while he was on the job, and he would read, he started reading the Bible. And he found a Bible, Spanish Bible, that was in very basic English that he said he could understand. And he read that Bible numerous times. And it got messed up, and he came, and I think the first time that one of our families, we started to know about him, he found one of another brother, and said he wanted a particular Bible. It so happened that we have that same Bible that he was looking for. I'm not sure how that happened. I don't know how he got a hold of that other Bible, but we found that that Bible works a little better for people that don't know Spanish as their original language, their mother tongue. And he started to read that Bible. A number of months later, he saw myself and a couple of our children. He said, hey, he said, could I have an English Bible? At that point, he thought that the Bible was originally written in English. And so he thought if he could learn English and read the Bible in English, he could come to understand. So he had a lot of religion in his background. I'm not sure to what extent he was trained to be a witch, the witch doctor of the community or the shaman of the community that would be in charge of the religious rituals for their community. But I think he was being groomed to be so. But he would come and visit me, and I would go to visit him numerous times over a period of a couple years. And we would go, and often we would end up just sitting back in hammocks close to each other and open up whatever we had and discuss all kinds of things. It was a different kind of conversation than what I was typically used to, of just sharing ideas of different veins that to him made sense. And it took me a little bit sometimes to figure out how they fit together. As we work through this. But one day, he started with this question, can a man see God? Can a man see God? And it's certainly something that I've thought about, and I'm sure you've thought about. And so, my mind went to what we should if we're Bible readers. And you start thinking about verses like, you know, no man has ever seen God. No man can see God and live. Moses wanted to see God. God said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. For some reason, and I'm not quite sure why, but for some reason, well, I think it was the Holy Spirit, I just listened and I asked him more questions. I was trying to understand what is going on. And he was saying, he was talking to this other person. He said, you can't see God, but I'm sure you can. And he left, and I didn't know how to help him. And he came back. I'm not sure. Usually it was an interval of a week or so. He had a phone, but never worked to call him. It just didn't work. So when we would see him, we would see him. And he was still saying the same thing. And I was getting more ready to just try to go through exactly how this works. And the third time he came, he was so excited. He said, I was talking to somebody, and they agree, you can see God. He said, where is it? And he would know these stories. We'd never know where it was. Where is it? Where Paul? And he went to Acts 17. You can turn to Acts 17. We know this part of Acts 17 is the story of Paul speaking to Mars Hill. To the men at Mars Hill in Athens, you men of Athens. And we looked at this passage, and we talked through it. And I said, yeah, you can see God with your heart. God is perceivable. And he's like, yes. And all this time, I was thinking, can you physically see God, or can't you? That's not where we ended up. God is knowable. If you want a subtitle for this morning, it's God is knowable. You can know God. God is not a distant, disinterested being. So let's read through this passage, and we're going to spend most of this morning just looking down through these verses from Acts 17, verse 23 down to about verse 29, and then would like to end with several responses to these verses. So Acts 17, verse 23, and maybe we'll just read to the end of the chapter. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite." I didn't practice this in English. "And a woman named Damaris, and others with them." So we'll stop there. But so we read this, and as I said, we came to understand that Guillermo was looking for the fact that God was perceivable and that he could communicate with God. And it was interesting because specifically during the same time, I was praying something to that effect, because I just really sensed that Guillermo was reading the Bible but was not getting through to understand that God was a person to know and to communicate with, and that it didn't think he really understood even the concept of why Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins. And I think that he had some level of belief in God and still acts very interested, but the last time I met him, he did not seem to be living for God. So I hope and pray that that changes. One of the last times I saw him, he was drunk. And the time before that, he took me back to his family's house where he moved to. He moved away from Leticia back to a little jungle town, not as far back in as he lived, but him and his family built a communal house where he and his parents and maybe a couple brothers can live in. And that's just a big round pavilion with side walls and hammocks and a dirt floor and a place to cook things inside of that place. And so that's where he is living right now. But I would like to think now. So Paul came, and I think we're aware of the fact that the men of Athens here, and there was different groups of different thoughts happening here in Athens. And there were many gods. I think maybe there was one group that was pretty much atheist and believed there was no gods, and another group believed there was many gods. And we have here Paul. It was just interesting, and I think you would enjoy some time just looking through Acts and just thinking, how did Paul work to try to engage people and think about where they were coming from to bring them to a place to where he could present to preach the gospel to them? So he's looking at these different altars to the different gods, and he says, I found this one that says to the unknown God. And I want to tell you about this unknown God. And at first I react to that a little bit, and I'm wondering why Paul did that. Because it seems like you could attach something about who God is to a concept that they have about this unknown God that doesn't mesh, doesn't work. In fact, he even says, whom ye therefore ignorantly worship. So I wonder what all was going on there, if he knew some things that we don't have recorded here, but that's what he said. And it was very true. They were calling this God an unknown God, and to them, their creator, the only God, was unknown to them. Now, so first of all, here in verse 23, God is knowable. And we're talking this morning to a group of believers, and we have turned away from worshiping idols. We have certainly, I believe, do not have these little physical things that we bow down and worship. I trust we don't. And we have to deal with idols of things, of whether it's possessions or other things that want to take the place of God in our lives. But we do intend to know and worship God. God is knowable. God is approachable. God is perceivable. You can perceive God. You can communicate with God. He does not need to be unknown. There is always an element of unknownness about God as we are in this physical life. And the Christian life is a series of learning to know God more and more. God and His Word and who He is and how He thinks and how He would respond to the things that we're dealing with in this day. This verse that never, I just don't, it continues to amaze me. John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so we're in this physical life with these physical limits and these physical bounds. We can reach out of that in our spirit, in our communion with God, as we immerse ourselves in God's Word. And eternal life can begin. It happens. It has happened if you have come to believe Jesus, and it has the opportunity to grow. Yes, we look for a fullness of eternal life in heaven, in eternity, but that starts now. It has started for you if you are a believer. God is knowable. Verse 24, back in Acts 17. Verse 24, God is the creator. God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. And the there's something called the law of first mention. And that happened this morning when Brother Stephen went back to Genesis to look at why Jesus came. The first time something is mentioned in the Bible, we go back there and we say, what's the foundation? Maybe there's something that we can learn about why Jesus came. The law of the first mention. And so as we think about God, how did all this happen? Why am I here today? We go back to God before time. Before time started, there was God. In the beginning, He created the world. And He created the plants and the animals. And then He took His principal creation, man, and put him in there, that they would have dominion over those things. And so that those things, the earth, the plants, the animals, would serve him, that he could use those things to serve God, to flourish and serve God. So we come back to God as the creator, the owner of us and everything around us. And as we look at creation, we start to see things about God that we didn't see before. So we look deeper into creation, and we start to see the wisdom of God and the marvelousness of God. God is knowable. And doesn't that make you think of Romans, about Romans chapter 1, I believe, about creation speaking, and people have seen creation, and they have an opportunity to be introduced to the concept of God. They are accountable because of that. And in Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. God is knowable. God is not in the creation or the creation like this New Age concept or whatever it is. But you can learn about God as you compare Scripture with what you study about the things around us. Verse 25. He gives life to all, and breath in all things. Life is a gift from God. You don't have life unless God thought about it. You don't have life unless God thought about it. You cannot say that I just happened and God doesn't know I'm here. The fact that you're breathing and you can hear any kind of words and you can communicate with anyone speaks to the fact that God thought about you. And he has started something so that he can communicate with you and you can communicate with him and he can be glorified through that. God gives life to all. Verse 26. The last part. And God hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation. So we think about divine appointments, and you can think about that from a global perspective of God knowing the timeline of earth from the beginning to Adam to when it's time for Abraham, when it's time for Moses, when it's time for the kingdom period of Israel, when it's time for eventually Jesus to come, and then the church, and eventually we get to 2025, almost 2026. God orchestrates those things. And then we think about the details of our own lives, divine appointments in our own life. And I was impressed just again this morning thinking through the birth of Jesus and the divine appointments of all the different things that happened to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem and then eventually to Egypt. And back to Nazareth, the divine appointments. And I think that's something that we should be very aware of as Christians. As we go throughout each day and we pray about those things. I like to pray on the beginning of my day or as I'm traveling. And now I get to drive more than I used to, and I kind of enjoy that. I might get tired of it soon, but I'm really enjoying the time to pray, to listen to God's word, to listen to other things and meditate. And I like to pray and I ask God, direct the people that I'm interacting with and prepare me for that and prepare them for that. And I don't always know who that will be or what the situation will be, if they will be Christians or if they won't be or if they'll be in need, if they won't realize that they're in need. Divine appointments. God does that. And so you see again, he is perceivable, he is knowable, he's interacting with us as we allow him to. And I forget, I just say this right here. The God is, you could say, a decision away from intervening in our lives. A decision on our part. Maybe you're struggling with something and you don't know how to solve it and we can't break through it. Well, a decision of laying down my own life and surrendering to God, and God can intervene. Verse 27. God is closer than you think. that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. People in this darkness reaching out for life, for restoration, for something different, something godly. God is right there. God is right there. He's so close. Almost like he's saying, watch out. If you reach out, you'll touch him. He's right there. God is not just up in heaven looking down. Verse 28 kind of comes back to the thought of God gives life, but he is not just the giver of life. He is a sustainer of life. And I think this is really important for us to wrap our minds around. For in him we live and move and have our being. I often thought about things like the law of gravity, the law of this, the law of that, as if God puts these things in motion and then they keep on going. That's not true. Gravity works right now because God is alive right now. Josh Porter said something recently in Pensacola, and it really resonated with me. We make a division between what happens naturally and what happens supernaturally. And Josh Porter said, that's false. That's biblically false. What is different about God doing something amazing that he normally does from God intervening and doing something you weren't expecting that's equally amazing? In a lot of ways, the things we take for granted, we don't even think about are still working. You know, the things that hold ourselves together, the gravity that's happening. That is just amazing, as the stories of Jesus raising people back to life. It's just that we expect the one to happen and the other one we are surprised about. All right, the second part of verse 28 actually. For we also are also his offspring. And I'm still wondering exactly what all that means, and it'd be interesting to hear what you think. But we are, God has created us. We are from God. And somewhere I picked up this idea, and it wasn't original to me, but the thought here was that we are made in God's image. We are made in God's image. God has made us to be like him at some level. And why are we made in God's image? We're made in God's image so that we can communicate with God, so that we can glorify God, and God can receive glory from the relationship that we have with God. God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what are we going to do about the fact that God has created us to communicate with us? God has created us so that we can perceive him, so that we can worship him. So Paul was asking these people, was presenting this to these people so that they would turn away from their idols and they would repent and believe. And that is something that we need to all do. And I trust that many of you have already done your first encounter with God. But the same principle continues: to repent and believe. Repent and believe. Confession, recently I heard a definition. Confession is truth-telling. Confession is telling the truth about myself. Confession is telling the truth about God. And that could be a confession that I make about my belief and how I think about things, be a confession about something that I've done, to other people, confessions about something I've done to God, is truth-telling. Believing God is a growing experience. I hope that you believe God more than you did 10 years ago. And you know, we want to shield our children from difficult experiences. But I was just speaking recently with someone about that concept as we wrestle with wondering how can we raise children to embrace God and believe God and practice the Bible. We can't shield them from difficult experiences. It's those experiences that form us and help us to believe God. Replace our thinking with God's thinking. The second thing of our response here, invite God into your daily life. Every aspect of your life, your home, your family, your work, your daily decisions, your conversations with others. And I just love the book of Nehemiah as he goes through this thing of the problem he sees or hears about in back in Jerusalem and how he's this cupbearer and he gets concerned about what the king is going to say about it. And then the king throws him this question and he's blown away with it. But what does he do this whole time? He's like, I stopped and I prayed to God. He doesn't say I stopped, but he prayed. He communicated with God. It almost seemed like he was just moving through this thing. God, what am I supposed to do? I wasn't prepared for this big opportunity. And then he responds. Invite God into your conversations with other people. Look for God's touch. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be in prayer and in the spirit of prayer. The third thing, a couple things here about God's word. Know God's word. Trust God's word and obey God's word. Be in the word. Recently, I was challenged to think about and thinking about growing in the area of prayer life. One opportunity that I was presented with was start praying the Psalms. Just start praying the Psalms. And I've spent a lot more time in the Psalms recently, and I've been enjoying that. Be in the Word. Pray the Word. Pray the Psalms. Let those truths of God's Word just keep on just making more layers in how you think. And obviously, that's not going to happen unless you obey it and apply it. The last thing here is tell others. So I'm going to start this little point here with what Jesus said. And he's getting ready. He knows he's about to be crucified in John 14. And he's telling his disciples that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Disciples are asking different questions. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus says something that is a little hard to comprehend from a human perspective. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? It's like, Philip, I've been trying to tell you for a long time. I am God. God is in me. You've been seeing me. It's the same thing as seeing the Father. And then, go to 1 John. 1 John 3:16 here the example of John through what he says. And I would like us to embrace to get to the point in our Christian life to where we feel the same thing about our understanding of Jesus and who he is as John is. Just think about, we're going to read 1 John chapter 1, the first couple verses here. And I want you to just think about the desire and the desire and the zeal and the interest and the joy that John has in communicating these thoughts. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So he's perceiving this thing. We've been with Jesus. We've seen this. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Again he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Have you experienced God to the point to where it just spills out? It's like, this thing is working. I'm reading God's word. I'm applying it, and it works. And it can work for you too. And so we're going to end with that. When we pursue God and we learn to know him through reading his word, through applying it, seeing it lived out, acted out in our practical lives, as we pray to God, it gives us something to share. Let's kneel for prayer.